All right, good morning, everyone. I am going to call this meeting to order. This is the April 6, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kottkamp, and I've been appointed by Chelan County to serve as a land use hearing examiner. My job is to render decisions on various applications that are authorized to come before me, which include conditional use permits, applications for riparian variances, and appeals of administrative decisions. That's what we have on the agenda for today. Now, I consider any testimony and evidence presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials already on file, in order to make my decision. The hearing process does have certain rules, but I still try to conduct the meetings in a relaxed and informal manner, but we still have a process we're going to use. We'll take each item separately, and for each item, staff will present their report to make whatever recommendations that they wish to make. Next, the applicant or the appellant will be given an opportunity to present their testimony and evidence. The applicant and appellant do have the burden of proof to show compliance with all the applicable rules and regulations. Next, if for the conditional use permit or the riparian variance, if there's anybody from the public that wishes to offer any testimony, they'll be allowed to do so. On those administrative appeals, there is no public testimony allowed at those hearings. This is a matter that is between the county and the applicant, based upon the county's the facts that the county had basing their decision, which is being appealed. So allowing in facts outside of that record is not proper. So there won't be any public testimony on those administrative appeals. Then for the conditional use permit and the riparian variance, if there are any, if there is any testimony in opposition to the project, then the applicant will be given an opportunity to present whatever rebuttal testimony that they wish to make. Now, if you are going to testify, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call on you and have you unmute yourself. I'll have you state your name and address, and then I'm going to swear you in as a witness. I'd ask that you keep your testimony relevant to the application that we're talking about and not to other issues beyond the scope of the proposal. And if you have anything in writing that you want to submit today, we can make those arrangements. I have the option to keep the record open if I think there's a need for additional written testimony to be submitted, but in any event, my written decision will be made within 10 working days after I close the public record. Now, except as provided by the Chelan County Code regarding requests for reconsideration and requests to reopen the hearing, my decision on all these matters will be final and conclusive unless they are appealed. Appeals are by means of what's called a land use petition action. They have to be filed within 21 days of the date of the issuance of the decision. And if the appeal isn't timely filed, the appeal would be barred. The bottom line is that if you're considering an appeal of any of my decisions, you should seek immediate legal advice. Once again, I've reviewed the items on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in any of the properties or the proposals to be heard today, and I'll be able to fairly and objectively consider each item. And then outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report for each item, along with all those attachments, which included the application materials, the appeal materials, for the first two items, there's site plan drawings and noticing documents and comments that have come through agency and public. Other than receiving and reviewing essentially the entire planning staff file for each item, I've not had any communication regarding any of the items that are on today's agenda. So with those representations, if there is anybody here today who objects to my participation as a hearing examiner for any item, you need to unmute yourself and state so at this time. All right, hearing none, we'll turn to the agenda. The first item on the agenda is a series of administrative appeals, AA21-251 and AA21-386. My understanding is that these matters are agreed by the county and the applicant to be continued here on the record to June 15th, 2022 at 1 o'clock. Is that correct, Ms. Strother?
Yes, sir.
All right, so, those items that are listed first on the agenda, AA21-251 and AA21-356, those are being considered now on the record to 1 p.m. Those items are being continued on the record at this time to 1 p.m. on June 15th, 2022. There will be no further notices that will be provided. Turn to the second item on today's agenda. This is a conditional use permit application. This is an application for a conditional use permit requested to allow a place of public and private assembly. This relates to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. And for the record, I will admit into the record at this time by this reference. Ken Muir, if that's you, could there, thank you. I'm going to admit into the record at this time by this reference, not only that staff report, but all of the application materials, the comments that have come through, including the comment that just came through from last night that I just received this morning from a Mr. Hammond, all of the noticing documents, the SEPA documents, I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference. And turn this matter over to Ms. Strother for the staff presentation.
Thank you. This is an application for a conditional use permit to permit an already existing farm for places of public and private assembly. The subject property is located at 7 Tunnel Hill Road, Chelan, Washington, within the Rural Residential 5 Zoning District. Based on the application materials, the development would access off of Tunnel Hill Road. The development would be open from late spring to early fall from 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. It would be an event vineyard and lavender farm with retail sales. Staff would like to add an additional condition of approval requiring the applicant to get a change of use permit for the existing pole building. Based on the application materials, agency comments for consistency with applicable codes and regulations, and as condition, recommends approval.
All right, thank you very much. Is it staff's understanding that there will not be any camping or overnight lodging at the facility? That's not part of this request?
That was not part of the application at all. And that's not the intent.
Okay. All right, the other questions I have are for the applicant. So thank you very much. Is the applicant ready to proceed?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was misusing my mouse.
I'm sure your mouse forgives you.
Go figure.
All right, I'll have you state your name for the address, or your name for the record and an address.
My name is Kevin Brown, B-R-O-W-N. My address, my residential address is 635 South Lakeshore Road, Chelan, Washington, 98816. The property address is 7 Tunnel Hill Road, as stated, also in Chelan.
All right, Mr. Brown, I'm going to have you raise your right hand for me. And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
All right, thank you. And are you the agent of the property owner and the applicant and authorized to appear and speak on their behalf today?
Yes, sir.
All right, and what would you like to tell me about this project?
Well, just to clear up a couple of things, when we acquired this property and developed this property, we understood from the county code that as we were building a lavender farm and vineyards and wine production, that agricultural uses of this property were permitted. Without additional permitting from the county. We sell grapes from our vineyards. We have a winemaking operation separately from Tunnel Hill, but we have a wine application there. It's permitted as a tasting room by Washington State Liquor Control Board. We have light tastings there and some other just small retail items. The lavender farm is relatively large. Yeah, the lavender farm sells lavender-based products, including cut lavender and other lavender-related oils, et cetera. In the past, we have had agriculturally related events. We've had a small wine festival. We've had a small lavender festival, and they were successful and without any really great disturbance. They were for the community, and they were, I thought they were done nicely. We will continue and want to continue doing those things related to our agricultural roots. I was communicated with last year that if we were going to want other activities such as weddings or non-agricultural related public activities, then we would have to file what was filed, a conditional use permit. The building in question, which was just raised, it was unknown to me, and it's my error. I'm not blaming anyone, that the permitting for that was residential, not commercial. That was done by a commercial pole building company. I did sign the permit, but it was a miss. But we're happy to get the right permit. That building is not used by the public. No one of the public is allowed inside. It's storage of farm equipment and other items, including lavender and grapes and bins and things. The requested we may, oh, by the way, the other thing that we have done is we added a luxury mobile toilet system with 5 working toilets that are flush toilets. These bathrooms, including an ADA toilet. We had a porta potty out there for a while, which of course isn't very attractive. The flush toilets are hot and cold running water, AC and heat. And they are effectively full-fledged bathrooms. We have the system pumped typically once a week, sometimes twice a week if we have to, but we're not that busy. What else can I tell you?
What I want to know is what you want to do, how you want to add this. What you want to do complies with the applicable rules and regulations. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, we're asking to be able to be permitted to have weddings, which currently apparently we're not. We're also asking to have musical events. And like I said, non-agricultural related things could include a private party or a family reunion, things of that nature.
All right. I do have a question for staff real quick. Mr. Rother, these prior events that they've had, these festivals, as Mr. Brown called them, wine festivals and lavender festivals that are meant to attract the public. Are those simply permitted outright within the code, as Mr. Brown seems to think, because they are quote unquote agriculturally related?
No, sir. They're festivals like this. He would still need to get the CUP for the places of private and public assembly.
All right. And so I wanted to get, that was my understanding. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I apologize. That's why we are continuing through this CUP process, so we can clean up and make sure that any kind of code enforcement is resolved.
Got it. Okay. All right, Mr. Brown, that was my understanding as well. And hearing from you, I thought you thought maybe those other festivals were exempt from the CUP process, but according to staff, they're not.
If I'm permitted, could I ask a question?
You can ask me a question. If it's relevant to my inquiry, I'll pass it along.
I guess the question becomes, anything retail-oriented is by nature public. So I'm a little miss. I just don't understand the ability. Again, what you're telling me is that no retail is permitted because it's by its nature, it's public. So I don't know what public assembly means in this particular context. I'm just asking the question.
Well, if you look at the code, there's a specific definition for private and public assembly. And basically what it is, you know, a gathering of public for the concerts, for the weddings, for family reunions, for those kind of things. Having a wine tasting room where you sell something, I'm not passing judgment on whether that requires any separate permitting as well, or whether it's just permitted outright through the code. But what we're here today to talk about are these large gatherings where you're attracting people to your property for, like I said, weddings, concerts, family reunions, whatever it might be. That's what the public and private assembly refers to.
Is there a numeric definition of that, just so that I can understand? Is there a maximum number? And the reason I ask is we've been at this property for multiple years and we've had gatherings that are agriculturally related, including wine club parties and et cetera. And I've never been told. In fact, the enforcement officer that I spoke to didn't have that information. In fact, explained to me that as it relates to a commercial activity that is agriculturally based, then you're within your permitted rights. But I'm not hearing that currently. I'm hearing something else.
Well, I'm not commenting on what the code enforcement person may have told you. I am telling you that at least my understanding and staff's understanding of the code is that, wine club dinners, wine club activities, anything where you're attracting public and private assembly. Now, does that mean two? I don't know. That's not before me right now. Does it mean 1,000? The maximum is usually set up by determined by the fire marshal and the Department of Health and the Public Works Department about what the maximum that facility can hold. So that's generally what that relates to, such as for parking and bathroom facilities and road capabilities and all of those other things associated with people coming and going from your property. So we're back on the discussion. What else would you like to tell me about this conditional use permit that you're requesting?
That's all I have.
So a couple of things that I have. I asked staff this question. I want to confirm it with you. There is no camping or on-site lodging that is proposed through this permit. Is that correct?
No, sir.
And on-site food preparation, no restaurant, none of that is being proposed in this operation, correct?
No, sir.
There are, as I look through the staff report, it wasn't really mentioned, but there are noise codes. And most importantly, the Washington Administrative Code sets noise levels in decibels from the originating property to the edge of that property. So when you say you want to have concerts, are you thinking about amplified music and amplified musical equipment or what
yes,
were
sir.
You thinking?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Do you understand you're going to have to comply with the noise ordinances and the noise doesn't leave your property at a greater decibel amount than allowed by the code?
Yes, sir. I could write a small essay on noise permission in the state. We run another operation and understand the decibel, maximum decibel limits. The proposed area, which of course has already been used without anybody's complaint, is in the back of the building. It's shielded by the building. It is buffered by about 20 very, well, relatively young, but growing evergreens to buffer noise. The sound is completely travels north and west into a canyon. There's nothing behind us. That was done intentionally, not to disturb anybody. And we are a 21 acre property. So it's a fairly large property, and we're several hundred, maybe 1,000 feet from the neighboring property, which is 5 acres. And their residence is in the middle of their property. So we're talking a fairly long distance. In the past, we've had music. The music we've had is amplified. It's typically of a jazz nature. So it's not headbanging rock and roll. That's not our style. And we have taken, you know, all of the precautions to keep the noise. We have measured decibel levels for our shows to the property edges, and they are minimal. There's actually more noise coming off the highway.
All right, that is refreshing to hear. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You're also, you've seen the comment letters about the access and the easement, and I want to let you know, and everybody else that's here, I don't have any authority to interpret or enforce any kind of an easement. I just want everybody to know that. That's outside my authority. But what I can do is just to explain, it's just to require that you do have legal access. Your access off of 97A is a legal access as far as you're concerned. Is that correct?
It's a legal access with appropriate permitting by Washington State Department of Transportation. It's documented. It allows up to 100 cars a day. I will also I made a note, if I could just digress a moment. There was a comment about the hours of operation. The usage for the property is very intermittent. Yes, we will open in the late May, early June timeframe when the lavender becomes, mature enough to cut. I put the maximum number of hours. Typically, we're only open on the weekends. We're only open for several hours, but not 12 every day. And the idea of having musical events isn't a, everyday kind of like a movie theater kind of thing. It's intermittent and tasteful. We close down typically at Labor Day, so it doesn't go beyond that. The lavenders last beyond that. So it's intermittent use. And again, once I understand this retail issue, because on a particular day, we could have 100 people cutting lavender and buying lavender. So I'll have to consult someone about that, because that's the business we have. And that's the reason we bought the property. And that's the reason we thought we could do this. Understanding that maybe weddings or other non-agricultural related things are not permitted, but so it's kind of news to me. That's the hours of operation and intermittent use, and the intermittent use of music, I should say.
Okay, have you had a chance to review the staff report prepared by Ms. Strother?
Yes, sir.
And do you have any objection to any of the proposed conditions of approval?
Yeah, there are a few things that I have questions about. There was a question about our toilets. We spent $75,000 on state-of-the-art bathroom facilities, and there's some recommendation that we have to have a septic system, which I don't understand and feel is unnecessary, and I don't even know where it would go or how we'd use it. It would also be an enormous expense to our business. There was a question about water. I consulted with the health department, and The health department gave us a written document stating that all water to be consumed would be bottled water, which is what it's always been for 5 years. There's no potable water on the property. We have irrigation water. And they recommended that we post do not drink in these toilets. And these toilets, by the way, sir, are kind of like airline sized, you know, so I don't know who'd be drinking out of a fountain, but we do have signs in the bathrooms that say do not drink the water. So that's how we've handled potable water in the past. The issue of parking came up, I believe, in the report. We consulted with the Chelan Public Works Department, and they gave us a document stating that gravel parking would be appropriate and permitted. Again, this is a 21-acre property, so paving and doing things to create hard surfaces would be impractical at most, I think, or at least, but expensive, and it would create a bigger issue. The ground is porous. We've never had an issue in 5 years with parking cars or driving cars on our gravel road. Yes, I think those are the questions that I addressed.
Okay, and other than those concerns, do you have any objection with any of the other proposed conditions of approval?
Oh, there was the issue of fire suppression. You know, that's a real bugaboo, as you probably know. We're out in the middle of nowhere. I get that. We're not even annexed into the to the Chelan Fire Department. And that's always worries everybody, worries my insurance agent. They're asking us to put in place some fire suppression equipment. I'm not opposed to that. I just don't know how quickly I can get that done given the state of contractors in this world. I mean, if we do have an irrigation system that has very high pressure, and we're happy to, in the meantime, to put a fire hose on that, that would essentially be the same. I'm talking about a large hose. There's plenty of pressure. If we were to have to put in a fire hydrant, as it's sort of communicated, then I don't know what that would cost or how we'd do that. But I'm not against fire suppression. I'm happy to keep the public safe and keep our people safe. So that was raised, and I'm not giving you an objection. I'm just asking that we can run our business while we figure that out and get a contractor to tell us what it would cost and where we'd put a tank, because you're talking about a large tank and an underground tank, I believe. So it's okay. Not just a simple, I don't know much about it, but I would just, everything has to do with contractors is complicated more so these days than ever. So I would just ask for some time to get to that. Not like years, but just, you know, getting someone out there to tell me what it would be and how it would work and coming up with a price and putting a plan together. That's going to take some little bit of time.
All right. I understand. Those were my questions. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Brown, for coming in. Okay, we're going to turn this matter over to the public now. Did any member of the public come to testify on this matter? If so, I just need to have you unmute yourself and we'll get started.
Hello?
Yes, Megan?
Gary, her husband.
All right, I'll have you state your name and an address for the record, please.
Name is Gary Hammond. Address is 83 Tunnel Hill Road, Chelan, 98816.
And I got your letter from this morning, but I'm still going to put you under oath. Would you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right, thank you. And what would you like to tell me?
A couple days ago, the there's 4 5-acre lots here, 1 through 4. And we all met with Kevin. And one of the things was brought up was this letter he says he has from the state. And it was explained to him then that the state cannot grant him access over somebody else's private property. Where his fence line is, he has a 100-foot assessment right away, but there's lot 3 and 4, all these vehicles still have to drive over that. And as one of the 4 lot owners, the 4 of us are responsible for this road. It's a private road, not maintained by the county, the state. We're responsible for it. Anything that happens on it, we're liable. And to me, if the county's allowing all these vehicles, it's creating a liability for somebody, us, the county, and we need to try to get that fixed, because 100 cars a day coming in, and it's been packed when he has these 3-day events. And it's a 1-lane road. Myself, I have a large pontoon boat, and with traffic like that, I could be sitting there for a while, or it's just bad enough for me trying to get out. The neighbors down below closer to him have had their driveways blocked. Besides people dumping trash, or they're using trash cans that people put down there for pickup and stuff. There's a 2 retention ponds. One large one, that's a concern for all of us, that somebody trying to pass on this 1-lane dirt, they get too close, that edge can give way and they roll their car into this. So there's a lot of liability issues that me as one of the owners, what he really needs is access off of 97. And I know he said something about his decimals, but, and I'm 15 acres away from where he's at, and I hear the music up here. It doesn't bother me, but I can hear it up this far.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add, sir?
No, and I don't know how many of my other 3 neighbors are on, but they also have same type of concerns that they're on that we brought up with this meeting with Kevin. So thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much for coming in, Mr. Hammond. Did anybody else wish to offer any testimony today? If so, I just need to have you unmute yourself. All right, I'm not hearing any more. Is there anything further from staff?
Nothing further. I know that if you have any questions regarding access, Andrew is sitting in on the meeting. Just if you have any questions regarding access.
Yeah, no, if it's if they're using easements, that's kind of out, you know, it just has to be legal access is what I'm, the only thing that I really have the ability to say.
Okay.
And I didn't see anything from Public Works regarding improving that particular easement. I think I'm good. Unless Mr. Bruner, unless you want to testify, I'll certainly give you that chance.
Sure. I'll just address just the improvement issue. Andrew Bruner with Chelan County Public Works. They are required, the applicant is required to improve the road from its connection to 97A to their property with a 20-foot wide 6-inch gravel emergency vehicle access road. So the road is to be widened per their conditions. They'll also need to have an emergency vehicle turnaround within their property and that type of thing. And that will have to be within the easement per the original short plat 2008-119, I believe it is. Short plat 2008-119.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So that's, they are required to improve the road.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Bruner. Mr. Brown, anything further from the applicant?
Yes, just a couple of things. As I mentioned earlier, there is legal access and WashDOT, a WashDOT permit for access to our property. And there is some recent information about the road itself, but I'll also say that we've already improved the road. I improved the road when I spoke to Public Works 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, and laid down gravel and made the road passable and usable. There was also discussion about turnaround, which we created on the property that exists. It exists in two places. So lots of roadway, lots of turnaround access, and it's recent information just now that I heard about the width of the road. We wanted the road to be passable and usable, and we did that, but I didn't measure it. And so we'd have to measure that. But of course, it's a little bit double jeopardy if we don't own the road, but we have to improve the road. So I'm not sure what the protocol is there for the county to, because as Mr. Hammond said, they would prefer us to have access off 97A. We requested that immediately after purchasing the property, and the Department of Transportation refused, even though we have, you know, maybe a mile of frontage. They just were unwilling to give us access to the property, which we would really love to have, and then we could avoid all of this. But that doesn't seem possible. So I would just ask, in terms of the consideration, we would be happy to improve the road and make it everyone feel safe. And we've already done that. We did that with the permission of the people that our neighbors, effectively, and at our expense, even though we don't own the road. But I'm not sure that we can. Well, if you're asking us to improve the road and we don't own the road, then I don't know what we can do other than ask permission. And then if we're declined, then what happens?
I don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah, I don't, it's sort of a rhetorical question, but it still has to be asked. And I don't know who to turn to about that, because we didn't go into a lot of history, but this is an old orchard property that was divvied up and shared by, you know, multiple parties. And, you know, while we have permitted access to our property for commercial use, you know, adding additional requirements on a stretch of road, a private road that we don't control, as you could probably understand, sort of like double jeopardy. So I don't know who to turn to about that, but I'm assuming that I'll have to come talk to the county about it.
That would likely be a good starting place. Yeah. If the, because I don't know about the easement, I don't know about permissions, I don't know about what it allows and what it doesn't allow. I don't need to know about that. All I need to know is that you've got to be able to provide the access as required by the county code.
We do have that.
All right. Anything else, Mr. Brown?
No, that's all, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, everyone, what I'm going to do is I'm going to close the public record portion of this hearing. I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. Turn to the second item on today's agenda, or I guess it's actually the third. This is a riparian variance, given application number RIP 22-023. This is an application that has been submitted to reduce a riparian buffer setback for the construction of a new residence. The request is to reduce from 150 feet down to 75 feet. This relates to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. And for the record, I will admit into the record that staff report, all the attachments to the staff report, which included all of those application materials. There's noticing documents, there's various comments that have come through. I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference and turn this matter over to Mr. White for the staff presentation.
Thank you, Andy. So this is an application for a riparian variance submitted by Mark and Jill Michael to reduce the required riparian buffer setback in order for the construction of a new residence. The property is located at 5643 Locust Lane and is adjacent to Brunder Creek, which is a fish-bearing stream. Brunder Creek flows, is not on the property, but flows on the property adjacent to the property. The application will vary the riparian buffer from 150 feet from the ordinary high water mark to 75 feet, which would allow for a building area footprint to enable a new residence to be constructed. Due to the already developed nature of the site and the fact that no vegetation will be removed for the construction of the new residence, no mitigation is being proposed. As is, staff recommends approval of riparian variance 22-023.
All right, thank you very much. Is there a reason, maybe I missed it in your proposed conditions of approval, but I did not see a request for a habitat management and mitigation plan as proposed by Fish and Wildlife. Does staff have a reason why that wasn't recommended?
Due to the fact that no native vegetation was being removed and that for the new residences in place because they removed an existing residence that had previously been there, and then during permitting of the new residence, it was found that there was the riparian buffer that they still need to meet.
So is this proposed new house going to be in the same footprint?
Yes.
It won't be any, the new house won't be any closer to the riparian, won't be any closer to the ordinary high water mark than the old removed structure?
There is a little bump out that is a little closer to the Brunder Creek there, but the area that is within the proposed that is within the proposed buffer is the same as what was in there originally.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. White. Is the applicant or applicant's representative ready to proceed? Is there anybody here on behalf of the applicant?
Hi.
Jill Mike.
Go ahead, Jill.
Hello.
Wait. I need to have a name and an address, and then I'm going to swear you in as a witness. So let's have your name and address first.
Jill Michael, 5643 Locust Lane, Cashmere, 98815.
All right, I'm going to have you raise your right hand for me. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
And you are the property owner and applicant, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, what would you like to tell me?
We went through the process to get the title back on the house. We went through the process to have it demoed. And then at no time we were aware of the buffer zone or anything like that when we tore the house down. And then trying to get the permit to build, that's when we were informed. We also submitted that our neighbors to our right and to our left are 50 feet and 27 feet, I believe. So they're way closer than we are asking for.
Did you build the, there's an outbuilding there, I believe it's a garage. Is that something that you built and decided where to put it on the property?
No. Everything was there in place when we bought it in 2006.
Okay. All right. And I asked a question about the habitat mitigation and management plan. That's been recommended by Fish and Wildlife, and I see Fish and Wildlife people here today.
Okay.
But do you have any objection to preparing one of those if that is recommended by Fish and Wildlife?
No, not at all. We just, when we went to do the application, they said since no, you know, natural habitat was being removed, it's just an empty lot at this point.
Yeah. Well, their Fish and Wildlife's recommendation was no closer than 100 feet instead of 75 feet. But if you are going to, if the hearing examiner does allow the 75 feet, that there be a HMMP that is required to be performed according to the county code. So
okay,
that's the nature of my question on that.
Okay. We can do that.
Okay. Did you have a chance to look at the staff report and the proposed conditions of approval?
I did not. I don't remember receiving a copy.
All right. That's unfortunate because one of my standard questions is to ask if you have any objection to those proposed conditions of approval. So that we can talk about your objections now rather than not having later. Mr. White, did you send the applicant a copy of your staff report?
Yes, that was sent to them.
So you must have just possibly missed that, Ms. Michael.
Okay.
Conditions indicate that the construction has to be in substantial conformance with your site plan that you submitted on January 24, 2022, that you obtained building permit for the construction.
Yes, we'll do that.
That the riparian buffer be temporarily fenced between the construction area and the creek.
Okay, we can do that.
No construction activity permitted within 1,000 feet of an occupied residence between the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m.
Okay.
There's something generally called an inadvertent discovery plan that if you happen to find some archaeological or potentially archaeological items that you have to stop work and notify the appropriate tribal and state representatives.
Okay, we can do that.
Can't get a building permit until the end of the appeal period.
Okay.
The variance and the conditions of approval run with the land, which means that they're not yours personally, but they are attached to the property.
Okay.
And if I happen to deny this request, that you can't file another application for a year. And if you don't do anything, you have 3 years to act on this variance if it's approved. And if you don't, then the variance becomes null and void, basically.
Okay.
So you don't have any objection with any of those proposed conditions of approval?
No, sir.
All right. Anything else that the applicant would like to add?
We just really want this. We have no house at this point, and we need it to fit on the property this way.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Did any member of the public come to testify on this matter? Ms. Bard?
Yes, I'm here to testify.
Have you state your name and an address for the record, please?
Amanda Barge. I'm with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. I'm the Assistant Regional Habitat Program Manager. Our office address is 303 South Mission Street, Wenatchee, Washington, 98801.
All right, thank you very much. Would you raise your right hand for me? And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, Ms. Barge, what would you like to tell me?
So I just want to review the Chelan County Code variance criteria, specifically that the granting of a variance not be based on a precedent of illegal or non-conforming structures. So the neighboring residences that have structures closer to the creek than what they're proposing are essentially non-conforming to the current code, which is 150-foot setback. And the previous structure that existed on the property was a non-conforming structure as well. Because they didn't apply, at the time the original structure was being demolished, right now the conditions are, there is no structure at this time is the current condition. Based on our best available science, our riparian management guidelines for this type of ecosystem, a dryland ecosystem, the primary function of the riparian zone is to provide pollutant filtration. And that's not based on vegetation alone, that's actually based on distance. So it's basically the 100-foot recommendation is the distance for primary pollutants like nitrogen and phosphorus to be able to infiltrate into the ground and not end up in the surface waters of Brender Creek. So the lack of vegetation and the existing structures on the neighboring property, those aren't reasons to approve the variance, according to the code. However, if there's some mitigation proposed, if they do have to go into that 100-foot minimum distance from the ordinary high watermark, if they're encumbered, there's no other way to put a structure on the property without going into that 100 feet. There are some options for mitigation. Vegetation does help with infiltration, and so if they can do some additional plantings, especially if they could remove, if there's lawn grasses that would typically be fertilized, if they could replace that with native vegetation that doesn't require chemical fertilizers, that can help with the pollutant filtration concern, which is the primary function. And, but I guess I want to back up and see, because there's no house existing currently, is there a reason that they're encumbered and need a variance, or is it just the size, preferential the size of the house? Is that something that's been established?
That's something that I make a finding of fact on. So it's not a question to be answered right now.
Okay. So I guess, in terms of the options, our first preference would be to site a new structure, considering right now there is none at least 100 feet away from ordinary high. If there's an encumbrance where there's just no other way to put a house on the property and without going into that 100 feet to minimize it as much as possible, and then to add some additional plantings or remove lawn grasses that require chemical fertilizer as a mitigation option.
Okay. All right, thank you. Anything else you'd like to add?
Nope, that's it. Everything else is, I think, covered in our letter. So if there's any questions for me at this time, I'm happy to answer them if I need to clarify anything in that.
No, I thought your letter was well written and I understood everything that was being requested. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
You're very welcome. All right. Was there any other member of the public that wishes to offer any testimony on this matter? If so, just unmute yourself. Okay, not seeing any. Is there anything further from staff?
Nothing further.
All right, is there anything further from the applicant?
Yes, we couldn't, because of the other structures, the well house and the sewer or septic, I'm sorry, and then the shop, there was no, and then we have to go so many feet back from the roadway. This was the only way we could fit that house, and that's why we were asking for. And we are totally willing to, plant, no grass, the natural vegetation, whatever needs to be done to get this approved.
All right, thank you very much. All right, so with that, then what I'm gonna do, folks, is I am gonna close the public record portion of this hearing, and I will have my written decision made within the next 10 working days. Thank you all very much for coming on this matter. Okay, we're gonna turn to the next item on today's agenda. This is one of the administrative appeals I talked about. Again, this will be a report by staff and then the applicant's presentation of their evidence. There won't be public testimony on this, on the rest of the next two items. So this is AA22-041. This is an administrative appeal submitted regarding the denial of a short-term rental permit for an existing non-conforming short-term rental relating to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. For the record, I will admit into the record not only that staff report, but all of the application materials for the short-term rental permit, all of the documents that were relied upon for the denial of the permit. There is all the appeal documents that have come through. So I'm going to admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference, and we'll turn it over to staff for their additional report.
Thank you. Can I just clarify that we are on case AA22-041?
Correct.
Thank you so much. So we received an application for an existing non-conforming short-term rental. We received materials on both December 12th and 14th of 2021. This property is at 225 East Parkway Drive in Manson, Washington. The previous owner of the property had held a vacation rental permit, which was last renewed in 2016, and which is the date the current owner purchased the property. And the current owner did not ever hold a VR permit. Per code 1188-290, subsection 2EIF states that if in Manson, the short-term rental was to have had been properly registered as a vacation rental with Chelan County as of August 25th, 2020, or that the short-term rental owner had held a previous vacation rental permit in Manson as of July 28th, 2019, or in 2020 prior to August 25th. This applicant had not. Letter of denial was sent to the applicant January 13th, 2022, citing these reasons. The property was not ever registered as a vacation rental in the relevant timeframe. And then on January 26th, we received a repeal request from the applicant. We do recommend that the denial be upheld based on the applicant not qualifying for the status based on Chelan County Code and non-compliance with obtaining required vacation rental permit in Manson.
All right, thank you very much. Is the applicant ready to proceed?
Yes.
Okay, I see two of you there. Are you both going to testify or just one of you?
Just one of me, one of us.
Okay. I'll have you first start out by stating your name and an address for me.
Yes, my name is Patricia Ferroni Holmberg, and the address is 225 Parkway Drive, Manson, Washington, 98831.
All right, I'll have you raise your right hand for me. And do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much. And you are the property owner and the appellant today, is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, what would you like to tell me?
So, yes, the STR permit for the property owners was, I heard you, Kirsten, but it was not stated as a requirement prior to 9/29 of 2021, and it was not lawfully enforced as such. So we can, and we have, by the documents we have attached to this appeal, showed that we were renters and taxpayers prior to, between the period of 2017 and the end of 2021. We believe this is the grounds for being grandfathered in. So what we are saying here, which is to, in our defense for this case is, number one, when this all became the period of regularizing the situation, we were under the pandemic, and for reasons that I'm not going to go too much into details here, because there were personal reasons, being impacted with near-death relatives and other things. But the fact is, we didn't know, we didn't have this permit. But it's a long story, and the story of many cases already denied here in court. And so I'm not going to go into the details of my Vacasa story, but they did tell us as well that the permit was granted by or was held by the previous owner up to 2016. Again, yes, we did not have the permit for this time, as it was suggested. We are not declining or denying that we didn't. In fact, we didn't know that we didn't. But when we found out, and the law became enforced and became into place in 9/29/2021, we realized we did not have it. And then we went ahead and tried to make it regular, and we tried to apply for it using the grandfather rights we believe to have. And then we were declined. We did apply for this permit using the grandfather rights by before December 31st of 2021.
All right. And I understand that from all of your materials that you submitted, and they were very detailed. I appreciate that. Is there anything else that you or your husband would like to say?
No, that's what we have.
All right, thank you very much. Is there anything further from staff?
No, thank you.
All right, Mr. and Mrs. Holmberg, what I'm going to do is I'm going to close the public record portion of the hearing at this time. I'll take a look at everything very, very carefully, and I'll have a written decision made within the next 10 working days.
Thank you. We appreciate you taking the time to go over everything.
You're very welcome. Thank you for coming in today. We'll turn to the last item on today's agenda. This is also an appeal of a administrative denial of a short-term rental permit given application number AA22-128. For the record, I'm going to admit into the record the report prepared by staff, the application materials submitted by the applicant, the appeal materials submitted by the appellant. I'll admit all the documentation relied upon by the county in making its decision. I will admit all those items into the record, and indeed I'll admit the entire planning file into the record at this time by this reference, and again turn this matter over to Ms. Riles for the staff presentation. Oops, you're still muted.
Sorry about that. I had forwarded you a request from the appellant, who has now retained representation, and they had requested to be postponed until the April 20th date at 1 p.m.
Oh, okay. I didn't mark that down on my agenda. So
yeah, you had I'm sorry, you had mentioned that you would do this on the record so that we could avoid renoticing.
All right. And what is the date that it's to be continued to?
April 20th at 1 p.m.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Riles. Is there anybody here for the appellants to confirm this? I do recall receiving that request, but I see other people here. Is there anybody here from the appellant side of things that wish to comment on this? All right, not seeing anybody unmuting themselves. So what I'll do is I will continue this matter until the regularly scheduled hearing examiner meeting for April 20, 2022 at 1 p.m. All right, that would be the last item on today's agenda. So I appreciate everybody coming. I'm now going to adjourn this April 6, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. Everybody have a great week. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.